Lord, I pray that you breathe upon your word. Let your word become life. Let it become meaningful. Let it touch us in a special way. Let it touch us in a way that we'll never forget. We thank you, Lord, and we give you praise. Make my mouth like the pen of a literary writer. Let me just say what is needful to be said that will bless our lives in Jesus' mighty name. And those who believe God said, amen and amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, debt is a problem you cannot ignore. Come and say it to your neighbor like you mean it. Debt is a problem. It's a problem you cannot ignore. You cannot keep on pushing it down the road. You cannot keep on kicking it down the road. It's a major problem. It's a time bomb. Before you know it, if you don't do anything about it, it's going to blow up in your face. Debt touches every area of our lives. And the truth is, the debtor is not the only one that suffers the issue of death. Everybody around you suffers it. Your family suffers it. Look at what the Bible says. It says, the wicked borrows and have no intention of returning it. The righteous gives and gives. Generous gets it all in the end. Stingy is cut off at the pass. When you borrow, you must have the mind to pay back. Paying off your debt opens you up to God's blessings. You know why I know? Because God does not bless the wicked. He said the wicked borrow and have no intention of paying back. You borrow, you must have a plan to pay back. Not just to put yourself in the black, but also to have a righteous stand with the Almighty God. How can God bless a debtor? How can a debtor who has no plan, who has no intention of paying back, be praying to God for financial blessings? I'm not sure that's a prayer God wants to answer. You know why? Because God is a righteous God. And that is why the Bible also says that be careful not to make a vow. So that when you make a vow, make sure you pay your vows. He says God is not interested in the game of fools. Listen to me, folks. We must allow the truth of the word of God, to move from our head into our hearts. It must touch your heart. The truth must not just be in your head. When it touches you in your heart, it makes you make the necessary decision and take the right step. One thing I found out, and I'm sure you will attest to it, the number one area people are more secretive about than any other area of their lives is the area of money problems. People don't want other people to know that they have money problems. And what you don't realize is that people who can help you will not help you because you will suffer in silence. Somebody that I came to know, young man, is of blessed memory now. And I don't want to use this to remember his life. But he made mistakes. He had good friends. He had good mentors around him who could help him. But he was showing off as if he was all that. He had a big house. The impression everybody had about the house was that the impression he gave people was that he owns the house. This young man woke up, did his morning devotion with his family. One way or the other, he slumped and he died. Young family. By the time people gathered, his friends came around him, came around the wife. They found out that they were renting the house. They found out he did not have a life insurance. Let me stop here and speak to you. I've said it before, I'm saying it again. If you don't have life insurance, you are cheating yourself, you are cheating your family. So many life insurance is out there that is affordable. For the security of your family, should in case anything happens to you, you don't get life insurance because you are ready to die. Life insurance is wisdom. When you have financial issues, you need counsel. You need people whom you can talk to, who can help you out of it. Don't try to be like the Joneses. Behind closed doors, you don't know what the Joneses do. Praise the Lord. So showing up like you got it together when you have not is a dangerous game. It's a dangerous game against your life. It's a dangerous game against your family. I want to remind you and reiterate, it's imperative, it's important to commit to be debt free. To commit to be debt free. When you are in debt, it takes your sleep. You don't sleep well. You don't eat well. You can't do what every other person is doing. Think about it for a minute. Imagine yourself having no debt at all. Will that not be an awesome life? That would be a great life. That would be a wonderful life. Not to have to think of paying anybody. Not receiving any letter. And say final warning. And they will send another one, final warning. And as you don't even want to go to the post because you know what you are going to find there. It's good to be debt free. And I pray that God will give you the grace to be totally debt free in Jesus' mighty name. Listen to me. Let me lend you a little bit of wisdom. It's common sense. If you have a car note today, you have a car note. You already have it. First and foremost, don't lease a car. Except you have a business that is generating so much money that money is nothing to you. But even then, why do you want to lease a car? You are just giving the car people free money. So you have a car note. The first thing I'm going to advise you to do is commit to pay a little more than you owe. Let's say your car note. Let's just throw a figure out there. Let's say your car note is $350. Commit to pay at least between $50 and $100 more every month when you pay. So instead of the $350, pay $400 or pay $450. Guess what? You reduce the interest that you are going to be charged. Let me tell you, you first of all pay off the interest before you pay the principal. So every money you are sending, they are deducting the interest first. Maybe 90% go towards interest and 10% goes towards the principal. And you, that's why you find out that your balance is not shifting at all. The same thing with your mortgage. Some people say, some accountants will say, don't be in a hurry to pay off your home. Well, if your mortgage is $300, okay. But if your mortgage is over $1,000, try and pay as much as you can in order to reduce the interest rate. What you should do, this is what I do on my on our mortgage. January, I try and make sure that we pay an extra $1,000 above the mortgage. And you know what that does? That removes a couple of years of the mortgage, because the mortgage is either 15, 20, or 30 years. I don't want to pay for my house for 30 years. Praise the Lord. Just add a little bit more. After that, add a little bit more every month. Your mortgage is $900. Add $100. Struggle. See that money as your savings account. That extra $100 is going into your savings account and it's your mortgage. That's your retirement fund too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shave time of your interest. Shave years of your interest. Now, after you have paid off that car loan, that note, continue to save that money as if you are still paying the car note. If you maintain your car well in this part of the world, you can drive a car for 10 years, 15 years, and it'll still be as new as ever. Hallelujah. You have, recently I found out that you want to buy a car and you need all the works, navigation, which is extra $2,000 or $3,000. You don't need it actually. Google has given you free navigation. Praise the Lord. Most of the time, the navigation in your car, you don't even know how to operate it. Google is easy. Just type the address there. Easy, easy. Immediately, it's telling you, turn left, turn right, turn this. And if you download Wave, there's another one called Wave on your phone. That one, you can use your own voice. You can use your own voice to record where you are going. I can't, in my own, I have Wave. I recorded some funny stuff. Like maybe we are at an intersection. Oga car, slow. You don't reach intersection, no. You can do all that on Wave. And you alone in the car, you're going to laugh. You know? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So keep putting that money, that car note you have paid off. Keep putting that money. My advice will be put it in a Roth IRA. There's traditional IRA. That one is tax deductible. The Roth IRA, there's no tax deduction. You can withdraw it anytime. And there are several apps today. I'll tell you some of them next week. Where you can put those kind of money and the money begins to work for you. Praise the Lord. Let me give you a tip. When Amazon came out, the Amazon is not on S&P, it's not on Dow Jones. It's just like Berkshire Hathaway, you know. When it came out, everybody just like, oh no, did blah, blah, blah. Amazon, before the end of this year, is going to become $2,000 or more. So if you have the money to buy Kindle, instead of buying Kindle, buy Amazon and leave it there. Use that money, buy Amazon, and be watching it. Since January till now, Amazon has increased over $500. And every day is increasing. Every day is increasing. Can you imagine if at the time it came out, you just like, okay, you buy maybe 10 Amazon. 10 times 1800 point something. And you bought it for maybe $200 each. You know what you will have today. And then, cut those credit cards. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. This is how you cut it, with scissors. Cut those credit cards. Cut those credit cards. That money is not your money. It's somebody else's money. If you use it and you don't put it back immediately, you're going to be in trouble. It's easy to spend. You won't feel it. But when they begin to write you letters, it becomes difficult to pay back. Cut those credit cards. Just decide that, you know what? I don't need it. If I can't afford it, I don't need it. If I don't have the money for it, I don't need it. Because those credit cards are spending your future now. And then when the future comes, it comes with interest. Cut those credit cards. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, eyeball them. Look, 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 look. Cut those credit cards. You have 5 credit cards with different balances. You don't have money. And I hope that nobody is paying their tithes with credit card. I hope you are not giving offering with credit card. It's foolish money judgment to go and use credit card to buy food. The people who gave you those credit cards, they will tell you, spend it wisely. Invest, find a business you can use. If you are not disciplined, leave it alone. No matter how many pre-qualified letters they write you, just tear them. My next major point, get on a budget intentionally. Get on a budget intentionally. There are different budget apps. You want to buy groceries? There is an app for it. It's been very useful and so easy to use. There's one that my wife and I will use at home. It's called List Ease. List Ease is so easy to use. Maybe your wife is in the store or at home. You guys are going through your pantry. You are looking at the things that are depleted. You just type them into List Ease. And then the day you go to the store, you already have your list. And you become disciplined to commit to the list. Don't look at the things Walmart put in front to greet you that you didn't need. Until you saw it, then you say, oh, I need it. No, you didn't need it. Before, when you left home, you didn't need it. Your need is on your list. Praise the Lord. When you get to Sam's Club, don't look at what they use to greet you and welcome you. And they give you the paper. We are doing sale on this and that. You did not need it before you left home. Stick to your list. Be intentional about your budget. Praise the Lord. Be intentional. And in budgeting, this is the way it works. Pay God first. And then pay yourself second. Pay God first. Then pay yourself second. Pay God first. Pay yourself second. Paying God first is your tithe. Paying yourself second is money you want to save and put aside. Then use the rest to plan your next 2 weeks or your month. Sometimes you'll find that couples, if you are budgeting together, you are running your finances together, you find out that sometimes it's possible that one person's paycheck can run the family through the month. And then you save and invest the other one. And let me tell you, giving to God first is a major investment. You know why? Because we are children of covenant. We are children of covenant. Amen. Budgeting means to plan, get organized. Get organized with your finances. How can God open you more door of opportunities? Opportunities for financial blessing when you are disorganized with money. You are so disorganized and you are saying, Lord, bless me. Bless me, money. Open me new doors. God is going to be looking at, are you serious? The one I gave you, what did you do with it? Huh? What did you do with it? What did you do with the one I gave you? How are you managing it? Honoring God first will bring God's attention on you. Will bring God's attention on your family in ways money cannot buy. Believe me. I'm a testimony to that. As a tither, nothing faces me. I'm telling you the truth. Nothing faces me. I just go to God in prayer. Lord, this one, what are we doing about it? It may take a while, but it's always sorted out. Praise the Lord. I want to recommend a book that every one of us should read. If you are not reading and you are in Wisdom Assembly, you are shortchanging yourself. Secrets of Life, Secrets to Prosper You, they are in the pages of books. Information that will bless you, they are in the pages of books. Don't go around without having a book in your hand or your iPad. Praise the Lord. I have almost 1,000 books or more on my iPad. any subject. I can read. And sometimes I just like a real book to feel it in my hands so that I can use my pen to write. You know. Anyway, I want to recommend this book for you, for your teenage son and daughter. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon by George S. Clason. The Richest Man in Babylon. Everybody needs to read that book. This is you of debt free. This is you of financial freedom. It has been from time immemorial. This book is the same book that brought the ideas of banking system that they are using to loan you and I money. But we need to put our feet down and say, you know what? I'm doing a U-turn. Praise the Lord. As a covenant child of God, you must learn to trust God. Trust God at His word. God doesn't fail. His word doesn't fail. That's why it's important to honor God first. Honor Him first. And you see God fixating His attention on you and your family. You know what I found out? That there's no area of our lives that we can ever outsmart God. You can't outsmart God. You can't give God excuses. You can't feign ignorance with God. You can't say, well, I know better. I can do it better than the way God says it should be done. No, you can't outsmart Him. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, I want to read verse 8 to 11 from the Message Bible. I'll appreciate if Word and Sound can find it, the Message Bible. It says, begin by being honest. Begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? Do you rob me day after day? You ask, how have we robbed you? The tithe and the offering. That's how. And now you are under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you are robbing me. Bring your full tithe to the temple treasury so that there will be ample provisions in my temple. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. For my part, I will defend you against my raiders. Protect your wheat fields and vegetable gardens, that is your source of income, against plunderers. I like this end. It says, the message of God of the angel's army. The message of God of the angel's army. Not the message of man. You want to get out of debt? Get smart. Get into covenant with God, with your tithing. You know why? Because you need God's help. And tithing is a ground of obedience whereby you can cry to God and say, Lord, help me. And then He will hear your cry of help. The world live by their system. And they can be critical of our covenant system. It doesn't change anything. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you are in debt, you need God's help. So do things God's way. You see, any area of your life you want God to bless, put Him first. Put Him first. Just put Him first. In that area. Praise the Lord. Are you faithful? Are you faithful towards God in your tithing? The Bible says if you are faithful in little things, then He will give you your own thing. It will give you the true riches. If you are faithful, the tithe is considered a little thing, just 10%. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again. This is my philosophy. When I look at my tithe, no matter how much money it is, The 90 is more than the 10. Then I ask myself, what can this 10% do for me that will change my life? My answer is always nothing. Nothing. Even if it's $500, $1,000, can this $1,000, my tithe, can it transform my life forever and ever? Can it rebuke the devourers for my sake? I don't think so. And because the ways of God are past finding anyway. If you are stingy and you are not a giver, the Bible says that the liberal soul will be made fat. The liberal soul, not the stingy ones. The moment it's time to give, you start calculating why you shouldn't give. God always waits for you in the front. Believe me. Generosity is a spirit that you and I need to wear. Because that's who our God is. Except you are not a child of God. If you are a child of God, the nature of God, the generous nature of God should be in you. For God so loved the world that he gave. Believe me, that's the only proof of love. Giving. Giving is the only proof. Not saying it. I love you, and so prove it. Amen. It's your wife's birthday. Honey, I love you. You know, then she's going to be like, okay, that's just first step. He's coming with something. And then she's going and coming, looking for surprises under the pillow, looking for surprises in her bag, and nothing is happening. Bro, your definition of love, you will reap what you sow. I'm just telling you, you will reap what you sow. Praise the Lord. If you claim to be a child of God, you have to live according to kingdom principles. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, be generous. You know, generous people, generosity is not only in giving money. Generosity is also in helping. Generosity is also in assisting, advancing kingdom. Hallelujah. They are helpers of destiny, generous people. They are helpers of destiny. Amen. The next thing you should do is keep good records. Keep good records. What do you own? What are the things that belongs to you? Your house is still not yours. If you are paying mortgage, it belongs to the bank. What do you owe? Write them down. Don't put them in your brain. Write them down. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Everything you are earning, write it down. That's going to help you to plan. That's going to help you to budget. Then after you have done that, ask yourself these three questions. Where has my money gone? Where has it gone? Where does my money go? Was it worth it? Where is it going? Is it going to come back? Do I have a hope of payback? Is it going to come back as a blessing? Let me tell you something. As a parent, what you and I owe our children, we owe them Christ, introduce them to Jesus. We owe them good education. We owe them free board, clothing, until maybe before they graduate. Because every child, even while in college, should start learning to walk. Start learning to get a J-O-B. I am never one that says to my son, you know what? When you finish college, I'll buy you a car. Sorry, I'm not buying you a car. Work. Save your money. Buy yourself a car. The one that I buy for you, you will hit it against the wall. You didn't pay for it. The one you buy by yourself, you just find out that the way they will be treating that car, you will think is their everything in their life. No matter how much money you have, don't encourage your children that, oh, you know what, I'm going to buy you a car. No, nobody bought me a car. You are buying your own car by yourself. When I now see that you are responsible, I can assist you. After you are graduated college, I'm no more your responsibility. I am no longer your responsibility. I'll cut off your phone, pay your phone bill. I'll cut off your Sam's Club card, get your own. Anything I pay for, I'll cut it off. If you don't quickly get a job, I'll start charging you rent. I'm not lying. I started living alone before I was 18 years old. Nobody lifted a finger for me. It was by the grace of God. Where is your money going? That's why, because your son, they want this. Your daughter, they want that. Sorry. After a while, they will leave. They won't remember you. Even when they get their first salary, they will think twice before they remember you and say, should I even give him any? He doesn't need anything. And that's always a mistake. What do I give somebody who already has everything? They don't need it. Praise the Lord. Where is my money going? All the TV stations you are paying for, the cable TV, oh, my children, they have to watch. No, they don't have to watch TV. They don't have to. So that they don't become TV addicts. Where is the money going? That's what your budget tells you. That's what your budget tells you. Budgeting, planning will determine where your money goes. That is to say, where is my money going? Finally, where is my money coming from? You better define it and know. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 5 to 6, I read from the Message Bible. It's better to be wise than strong. Intelligence outranks muscle any day. Strategic planning is the key to warfare. To win, you need a lot of good counsel. Before I jump into that, let me backtrack a little bit. If you are doing all these things for your children that is not going to pay any dividends, what about your own future? When you are now in your old age, your own retirement, will you have something? Or are you going to call your son? Boy, it's the end of the month. I've not seen your check. It's going to be like that. I have a family. I have my own thing. They won't remember you pay for cable. They won't remember you pay for that. They won't remember you pay for this. They won't remember all the things you gave them to be comfortable. They won't remember. I'm telling you, especially children of nowadays, this generation, God help them. In Jesus' name. Amen. So to be debt free, oh my God, time is gone. To be debt free, to start building wealth, you have to become very radical. Honestly, talk to someone who can help you out of debt. Be radical. Then you will begin to see that sign, debt free ahead. You will get there in Jesus' name. You need to get somebody to talk to. Talk to somebody who can help you. Somebody who can motivate you and give you the right information that will get you out of debt. Proverbs 11:14. The Bible says, with good direction, people lose their way. Without good direction, people lose their way. The more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. In 1 minute, I have to rush through this. It's a whole lot. Call your creditors. Tell them your situation. Most of them will likely call a deal with you. Call them. They won't flog you. They're on the other side of the phone, somewhere very far away. Tell them you don't want to file bankruptcy. The moment you mention that, they don't want to lose their money. If you file bankruptcy, there's a possibility they will never get paid. Tell them you want to pay off your debt and specify what you can pay. Tell them this is what I can afford now. And you know what I found out? Favor comes to those who commit to do the right thing. Favor comes to those who commit to do the right thing. That is to say, I'll pay my debt, I'm coming out of debt. God is interested in every area of your life, every area of my life. Don't give up. You know why? Because you will thrive. Today you are where you are. Tomorrow I see you thrive. I said tomorrow I see you thrive. If you are really going to thrive, shout a better amen. Getting out of debt is the right thing to do. Getting out of debt is the right thing to do. Next week, I will tell you more because of my time. Next week, I will tell you about investing, tools you can check out. I'm not going to say, oh, you have to do it like this, this, or that. No, no, no. You have to do your own due diligence, and the Lord will help you. But remember that book, The Rich Richest Man in Babylon. I want us to pray. The song we sang says, I am what I am because I'm a child of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. The grace of God is an empowering grace. Grace that helps you to make the right decision and commit to that decision. Ask God to help you. That sincerely you want to come out of debt. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Just talk to Him. Just tell Him, Lord, help me.